If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
St. Louis's crime-fighting abilities have been under sharp focus during the 2023 legislative session. Republican lawmakers have filed bills that appear to target St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner and so-called local control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. State Representative Donna Berenger has played a big role in both of these debates, and the St. Louis Democrat joins us on the latest episode of Politically Speaking to talk about the trajectory of this legislation and her expectations for the next few months. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
My promise to St. Louis was that I would do the absolute most for each and every person, starting with those who have the very least.
What I wanted to do was look and see what other states are doing.
We have to be willing to change those laws, that they are balanced and they affect everybody equally.
As somebody that grew up in the St. Louis area, in North St. Louis County, I didn't know any lawyers growing up.
We got to find long-term solutions to make government better, but also to be able to provide services to people.
I don't want to leave that federal money that we've been leaving all these years on the table.
We need to be spending this money to take care of Missourians.
I thought we accomplished a lot this year, but a lot more needs to be done.
Welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Joining me in Jefferson City, she covers state government and politics for St. Louis Public Radio.
Sarah Kellogg.
And our guest today, my former state representative and St. Louis alderwoman, but what district number are you after redistricting, representative?
I'm still 82.
All right, still the 82nd House District Representative, a Democrat from St. Louis?
Yes. And Donna Berenger with one R, please.
Thank you for joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. It is Wednesday, and there's only like 40 minutes before you go into session, so we are going to get right into it. I want to talk about a bill that is known as HB 301. It's sponsored by Republican Representative Lane Roberts of Joplin. There are a number of aspects to this bill, but the part getting the most attention is a provision allowing the governor to appoint a special prosecutor that can prosecute serious crimes when certain thresholds are met. I'm going to just ask you directly, Representative, what are your thoughts about that part of the bill?
Well, as it's written, it does single out just St. Louis. And so there's going to be an amendment this week in committee that's going to change that. What specifically it'll be, but it'll be more about homicides versus the population. So it wouldn't be identifying just St. Louis, be identifying any prosecuting attorney in the state of Missouri who has a caseload that they cannot handle.
So I understand that, but I think that it's very clear that this bill is targeted at St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, whose management of the office has been under fire for a long time. I mean, is it fair to make that assumption? Like, this bill wouldn't be being brought up if Kim Gardner wasn't having her issues.
Well, I want to look at it a different way. This bill wouldn't have come up if we didn't have 200 people who were murdered last year in the city of St. Louis. This bill wouldn't have come up if we have people who are sitting in jail that may be innocent, but because they haven't had their day in court, they're still sitting in jail. We have people whose family members who have been murdered, who are still waiting 4 years down the road to see when is justice going to happen? When are we going to have this happen? And so when you represent the city of St. Louis and you go to all the neighborhood meetings like I do, and your people that you represent say, what can we do? Help us. So let me take that a step further. I know you said this part of the bill, but this didn't just happen. Last June, I received a phone call from Dean Plocker, who is the Speaker of the House, and he said he was putting a task force together to address crime and public safety throughout the entire state of Missouri. And there are six of us on that committee, I being one of them. Another one is another city elected representative, and then another one from Kansas City, and then three Democrats, three Republicans, and three lawyers, mind you, and I am not a lawyer. And we each were asked, if you had one thing that you're passionate about that you would like to bring to the table that you think would help, what is that? And of course, everyone sees that Lane's was, what are we going to do about all these homicides and getting them taken care of? And we actually interviewed Jean Peters Baker and Kim Gardner, asking them, what did they need? What did they need? And Kim Gardner made it very clear on that phone call, she needs help and she needs money. She needs help and she needs money. And so we heard her loud and clear. And so what was brought up was, well, then let's offer that help, not through the attorney general, but through a special prosecuting attorney. So it wouldn't be political. And then let's take the money that's needed to do this and pull it out of the state budget. And that's how that happened. Now we're going to make it, when it's amended, and like I said, this is Robert's bill, he's carrying the bill, but six of us spent our summer working together saying, what's important to you? And mine, buried all the way in the back, was that we've got to do something about all these juveniles who are walking up and down the streets of the city of St. Louis, shooting at cars, shooting at windows, and shooting at people. Because in the state of Missouri, there is no law that says how old you have to be to carry a gun down the street.
Despite what you just said, it does not appear that the circuit attorney's office supports this bill. This is actually a clip from Reddit Hudson, who works within Gardner's office in the diversion program, testifying earlier this week about why he opposes it.
I think the inescapable reality of this legislation is that it disenfranchises the thousands of voters in St. Louis that have now twice voted overwhelmingly to elect Kimberly Gardner as their circuit attorney. The second time she was elected was in November of 2020 with 74% of the vote.
Is Hudson wrong here?
Oh, everyone brings this up. Well, she's been voted in twice. That is correct. I had the fortune to have been sitting on that redistricting committee, and I had to study all the demographics across the entire state. But what I did spend over a month studying was the demographics for Congressional District 1. And what I found was in North City, we lost 17,000 residents. So we have an area that's pretty much clearing out. Then what I noticed was over that 10-year span, 2010 to 2020, we gained 12,000 new voters in the Central West End. So then I started looking at, you know, what each year, each time we had an election, where are the votes coming from? And then I started seeing people who wanted to move into the city aren't originally from the city. They're like, oh, you know, this is my chance to, you know, be an urban dweller. So I sat and I looked at all the numbers, because that's where I am. I'm a data nerd all the way. And I realized that you're going to continue to get progressive candidates as long as you have people who vote that, instead of saying, I'm only voting progressive, will say, well, wait a minute, let me study each one of these candidates. And so I actually, it's been in my gut. My gut instinct said, these are probably a lot of transients, and transients in the way of they are in St. Louis because they're working in the cortex. They are researchers. They're highly educated. They have money. And they are saying, you know what? St. Louis needs to be more progressive. I'll vote for progressive. So I have been saying this. And then I actually met one of the people who actually said I was right. And what I mean by that, and they didn't say it positively to me, I was at a very function. And this particular person worked in one of the highly growing industries in St. Louis. And he was standing there, and I said, I'm going to need someone to walk me to my car. And they said, well, why? And I said, well, there was a shooting here less than 12 hours ago, and I would prefer, it's dark, I'm by myself, that I not go out there because there's not that many people on Washington Avenue. And so someone said, well, why would you worry about that? And I said, have you not seen our crime? And this particular person said, oh, you St. Louis people, it's just a perception. I'm from Chicago. We know what crime is. And I looked up at that person. I said, where do you live? And they said, Central West End. I said, how long have you been here? They said, 2 years. I said, where are you from? Chicago. I said, you're my problem. It is not a perception. Per capita, the city of St. Louis has more crime than Chicago. And for someone to think it's okay that crime happens, it's okay to see my neighbors having guns put to their heads at the ATM, that is not okay. And is this about, oh, let's just lock them all up? Absolutely not. We all know that we have to start way down at the bottom. We need really good schools. We need to make sure these kids have something to do after school. And we need to make sure that 5% that is doing 70% of all the crimes on the streets of the city of St. Louis are off the streets. That's what we must do.
know, unrelated to elections, wouldn't a better option be, you know, as opposed to passing a separate law, that St. Louis political leaders find someone who can beat Garner in an election?
Well, no, that's excellent. That's excellent. And we have had, I know people think I'm a nerd again, but I love to have political conversations with people. And I love to say, how can we fix this? How can we fix this? And I do the best I can to look at diversity and help with getting more people involved in the city of St. Louis. And the couple of people that I was very interested in and said, you really need to get involved in politics, they ended up moving to Atlanta. They said, I'm not living in St. Louis. And they moved, and they were just fantastic professionals. So we do need to recruit more people to St. Louis. And that's why I don't want us to have a bad reputation. I had somebody say they were in Denver. They were actually at a bar. And the bartender said, where are you from? And they said, St. Louis. And they said, oh, my God, I've heard about St. Louis. Is it really as bad as we think that we shouldn't go there because you're going to get shot? That we cannot have that reputation. We won't get conventions. We won't get people. We must turn this around.
Garner said in a statement that the bill, quote, is a political gesture based entirely on unfounded premises. The notion that anything presented in the bill would improve our violent crime situation is ridiculous. What do you think about that statement?
Well, how about the fact that that office only has 38 attorneys, and one of those is Kim Garner? It used to be 60 under Jennifer Joyce. Let's start with, I keep hearing, $50,000 isn't enough to pay your lawyers. I want you to find out, how much is she paying the PR person? How much is all these special federal grants that are paying for diversion programs? How much are the leaders of those departments? What are they making? So if you need to find money, start putting it behind the lawyers. But I haven't met a lawyer yet that went to that office saying, oh, this is a great career, I'm gonna stay here for the rest of my life. They went there for experience. Some fall in love with it. They believe in the justice system, and they stay there. And they stay there because they're passionate and they make a difference. And let's not forget, people don't realize there is 128% turnover in that office. How do you function with 128% turnover?
The Missouri Association of Prosecuting Attorneys, that organization has come out against this bill, and they're a pretty powerful entity, especially amongst Republicans. How do you think that's going to affect the trajectory of this bill?
Right. Well, in this animal called politics, bills change and they get molded. So we all know that what we introduced is not going to be what is actually passed. So it's being vetted right now in a House committee. Then it'll be vetted out on the House floor, and then it'll go over to the Senate, and it'll be vetted in the Senate House hearings, and then it'll be vetted on the Senate floor, and it'll come back to the House. It will not look the same way it looks now, but at least we will have something. And that's what we're hoping for. So, yes, does the prosecuting attorneys not like the way it's written right now? Correct. Have they heard about the amendment? They have. And I think that if we somehow massage that amendment so that we're not saying, because everyone immediately says we're attacking just Kim Garner. No, we have crime seeping out. It's not just St. Louis. Crime is seeping out. We must get it under control. And if it means that we need to help out with special prosecutors that would be lent out, that's what we need to do. But the crime rate cannot continue.
So a separate bill would essentially repeal a 2012 ballot measure giving the St. Louis mayor's office through the public safety director control over the St. Louis Police Department. What do you think about this legislation?
Interesting you should ask me that. Right now, I've talked to other people. I've said this at neighborhood meetings. I was an alderman when the police department was brought in back under local control in the city of St. Louis. And I had said then, when I was asked what my thoughts were, I said, well, I understand that right now you're saying, well, the mayor, no one had any issues with the mayor. You know, they weren't happy about it, but it was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen. They had the votes up here in Jefferson City. So lo and behold, they come under. And there's a couple of things people don't realize is that when they were under state control, all those lawsuits were paid for by the state of Missouri. Now that they're under city local control, all those lawsuits you're hearing about has to come out of the city budget. So the city could go bankrupt just in paying off all those lawyers' fees and fighting all those different being sued. However, let's say you've got the votes and we're going to move the police back under the state of Missouri. All right. Now you think it's a great thing because, you know, the current governor is pro-police. But let's say we get a new governor and they're not pro-police. Is it now time to go do it again and go put the city of St. Louis police back under the city, or are we going to keep flip-flopping, as is basically what I've said to people. I've said, so what is the issue? You know what? The issue is leadership must support police. Leadership must help find ways to pay for better police, and leadership needs to understand that that residency rule is an issue in recruitment. We have to do everything. We need to get, we've been working on getting rid of bad apples in the police department in the city of St. Louis for a very long time. So right now, what we have are people who want to be there, but we have to be very careful. We only had a class of 13 in the last recruitment class. We cannot continue. We're going under 800 police officers in the city of St. Louis.
You know, St. Louis also just got a new police chief. You know, is there merit to the argument of kind of waiting and see what he does first before maybe moving forward with such a bill?
I could see the merit to that. I really could. And I didn't get a chance. He did. I met with him in my office, but I was more concerned about him understanding the dynamics of St. Louis versus going into specific legislation. So I can see where he would not want that to happen. But I'm kind of surprised because the Missouri Ethical for Police are actually in favor of this, along with the St. Louis Police Officers Association. So there's a lot of support for this that I did not actually foresee.
Given that statewide voters established the so-called local control in St. Louis City, you know, wouldn't this be usurping the will of Missourians if it goes back to the state?
Well, I guess I would have to say, what would the voters now say? And the reason I say it like that is because we had a huge turnover in the city of St. Louis. Like I've said, we've got all these new people that live in the Central West End. Just during COVID alone, only in 63109, we had 400 houses in 1 year turned over. So we had a lot of people that may have been elderly and went and downsized. And we have a lot of younger people. I do think the city of St. Louis has gotten younger. And so what are their thoughts? I'd love to hear their thoughts on this. But we first need to tell them the history. I always tell people, do your homework, understand historically what happened first, and then let's get together and talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about history. So in 2012, the ballot initiative was bankrolled by Rex Ziegfeld, who was a major contributor to then Mayor Slay. And even though he was not a financial contributor to Mayor Crewson, and I think she points that out all the time, I don't think she got a penny from Rex Ziegfeld.
Yes, exactly.
I want to make that clear. You know, she did support Better Together, which was a big Ziegfeld project. And obviously she pulled the plug on airport privatization, which was also a Ziegfeld project. So I think her record on that was mixed. Tashara Jones is not a Rex Ziegfeld person. And it seems very coincidental that this is suddenly gaining new life when a non-Ziegfeld mayor is in office. Is my tinfoil hat like on fire right now, or do I have a point here?
No, you have an excellent point. Because everything you said is exactly factual. And I guess the big question is it may be the crime. Maybe the crime is what's happening here. Or how about all that money the city's going to lose if they have to pay off all these lawsuits? Maybe they're looking down the road saying, we can't afford these lawsuits. Maybe there is somebody behind, you know, the door that I don't know about. But I can honestly tell you, excellent point to look at, Jason. I don't have an answer. I can tell you that St. Louis County is broke. And they're struggling. And I can't tell you, they've lost a lot of population. They jumped the river. They're in St. Charles, Wentzville. So I had suggested, I did an op-ed piece and I have written about it. It's not new. And I have suggested that what we do is we become one county. So you go from the Mississippi to the Missouri. You go from downtown St. Louis out to the bridge. And we stay the same. Municipalities do not change. But what happens is we become like Kansas City. Kansas City has what's called Jackson County, and 97% of their entire population resides in Jackson County. And so what they're able to do that we cannot do in the city of St. Louis is they can build, think, and get money regionally. And that's what the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County should do. And that's why I've written about it. We need to be one county. We could call ourselves Lewis and Clark, and then we could look at being regional. Regional airport, regional health commission, regional 911, because they're sinking and we will be sinking after the ARPA funds are gone.
But would you want the St. Louis Police Department to become part of the St. Louis County Police Department? I would imagine there would be incredible opposition to that, especially among the county police department.
But I think you brought something up. We're kind of surprised that these talks are happening. And I've told you the demographics have changed. And so maybe those who have moved to the city, those that were, you know, against this adamantly have already jumped the, you know, jumped over the other side of the river. Maybe the people who are now here saying we must do something, maybe this would work. And it's not going to force anybody to do anything. It makes it available to have the discussion. It makes it so we can say, you know what, if we want to do it and we want to craft it, we can start now because we're one county. That's all it does. It starts the conversation.
We'll be right back after this quick break with State Representative Donna Berenger.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back on Politically Speaking with State Representative Donna Berenger. She is a Democrat from St. Louis. So we're going to spend the last part of the show getting your thoughts on some more general ideas about the session. First of all, what was your general reaction to Governor Mike Parson's State of the State speech?
Oh, my gosh. It was fantastic. A lot of people don't know. I did early childhood advocacy. I did that for 3 years, and I was up in this Capitol doing exactly asking, begging. And back then we were told children don't vote. So they ignored us and no one would pay attention to the importance of early childhood child care. And so when he gave that speech, I couldn't have been happier. We were jumping up and down and clapping because you have to start at the beginning. And he is putting a lot of money and he's putting himself out there saying, I agree. And I have to tell you, as we're sitting there and he talked about one of the kindergarten programs, I think it was, so I apologize. His wife, Teresa Parson, jumped up and just started clapping. So I said, oh my God, that's Teresa's idea. So I jumped up too and said, yay, Teresa. So I have to tell you, it was fantastic. And I hope it all happens.
What was notable was that the focus of the speech seemed to be on things that seemed to have wide-ranging support, including expanding the lanes of I-70 and making childcare more accessible. You know, but the first couple of weeks of the legislature have been focused on very divisive issues, especially bills related to transgender girls playing sports and gender-affirming healthcare. You know, why do you feel like there's this disconnect?
I can honestly tell you it wouldn't make sense knowing that the Republican, the other party, is completely in control of the House, the Senate, and every statewide office. So you would think that that wouldn't happen. But I've also said that the reason you're probably seeing the IP reform, where they want to make it so you can never, as the voice of the people, put anything on the ballot, I think that that shows you when you have too much power and you stop listening to the people, that you will start losing that power. And that's what happened to the Democrats when they started doing the IP initiative reform. And then Governor Ashcroft vetoed it. And that was the beginning of the Democrats losing power. So this reform, IP reform, and bringing out all these very hot button issues may be the beginning of the Republicans losing power.
And we're going to get to IP reform in literally the next question after this. But do you think that legislation around transgender rights will get blocked again in the Senate? Or do you think there's more momentum this time around this year?
I hope it gets blocked. I'm very concerned that we're wasting what I consider taxpayers' time and money by talking about something that may only impact 6 children throughout the state. And we're using it as, you know, candy for the press. What people don't realize is MISHA. So I apologize. The acronym sounds for Missouri Association of Sports. So I mean, the acronym is longer, but MISHA oversees all high school sports. And they already have their rules. And in their rules, they address transgender athletes. So we don't need to stick our nose in this because the schools actually have no oversight on the sports. It's done by MISHA. So why are we wasting our time talking about something we have no control over?
We're recording this on February 1st. And the one thing that's on the House Perfection Resolution calendar right now is a resolution on initiative petition reform. And it's Representative Mike Henderson's. What do you make of that resolution?
Well, I can tell you that they did meet yesterday, the caucus, and I don't know what was said in that caucus, but I have a feeling that there will probably be some amendments maybe today. We may be debating it for 3 hours. I'm not sure. We're noticed to have to meet twice today. So either we're going to spend a lot of time amending and discussing it, or it'll be the opposite. It'll be like, this is not the bill. We're going to change it and we'll move on. We have three or four initiative petitions coming through my elections committee. So there are some in the back burner. So if that's the one they're going to go with today, they may not vote on it.
Yeah, that committee has heard a gaggle of these. You know, what are your opinions on the different takes? Some of them have higher signatures. Some of them have higher voting threshold. One has more than 50% of registered voters. And kind of what are your thoughts on kind of the different takes of them?
Well, I have to say that to make it clear, you know, it only says you have to have, you know, 6 of the 8 congressional districts. And so a certain percentage of each of those districts. And the rural opposition is to it because they get most of their signatures in the urban congressional districts. So they want to make it so every congressional district has equal say. That's fine. But I also want people to remember that, what did you turn out when you ran for office? Because I am a data nerd. And on the election night, I sit down and I go through every single election across the entire state, every state rep's numbers. And I can bring in almost 18,000 votes in an election, and there are only 2 other people that do that in a state rep seat. Now, if you can't bring out 10% of your voters, then how do you expect 10% of your voters to even show up for an initiative petition process? And then what's also in there, and let's make this very clear, is that in those bills, it says that our Secretary of State is going to do a statewide dog and pony show, and they're going to go to every part of each congressional district and explain each initiative petition and what it means. I'm sorry, I have a very big problem with that, because I have now seen our Secretary of State testifying in the transgender, testifying in, there was another hot topic, I'm trying to remember, so I apologize.
Parents' Bill of Rights.
Yes, the Parents' Bill of Rights. And that's not the job of the Secretary of State. So how could I know that when you are in Chillicothe, that you are not being biased and telling the people of Chillicothe, this is a bad bill? You know, that's not your job. Your job is to just say what it is and what it does. And that's a huge concern. And that's in those bills as well. And people sometimes miss that. And it costs money.
Do you think that there's more focus on getting initiative petition overhauls on the ballot among Republicans because they're fearful that a ballot item to undo the 2019 abortion ban is coming and they want to try and make it harder to pass?
Oh, that's absolutely the truth. That's what's happening. Because the Missouri Right to Life is testifying in committee, and they're worried that we're going to be another Kansas and we're going to be able to get that on the ballot. And what it's going to do is it's going to bring out more voters, and those voters are going to be voting more swayed towards those ones I told you that sit on that fence. They're going to vote Democrat, and they're worried about losing more Republican seats, because if that gets on the ballot. So they're very worried.
And I guess my other question on this is, there was a similar proposal that was put forth in Arkansas. I've said this on many shows. Arkansas is not exactly a socialist utopia. I would argue it's more Republican than Missouri, and it failed pretty miserably. Isn't it possible that this gets put on the ballot and just fails, and it doesn't have any impact on initiative petitions?
You're talking about to be able to change how initiative petition.
Yes, I'm not talking about the abortion.
I'm talking
about what they're debating about making it harder for the Constitution to amend. Right. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that.
No. Thanks for the clarification. That would be fantastic. I would love for the people to come out and say, no, do you not hear us? No.
Before we let you go, anything else you're on the lookout for this session beyond the issues we've talked about?
My piece in that legislation that has to do with minors carrying guns is huge. And people say, well, what are you talking about? We had someone actually in committee say, what do you mean there's no age at which you can carry a gun? There has to be an age. There is not. In the state of Missouri, if you're 10 years old, you can walk down Washington Avenue with an AR-15. So my gun legislation in that bill is only addressing minors. And that's why this is very important. It doesn't say you can't carry a gun to go hunting. It doesn't say you can't carry a gun if you're with your parents. What it says is if you're 12 years old, if you're 14 years old, which is the average age right now, if you're being carjacked, it's a 14-year-old and they're putting a gun to your head. This piece of legislation says if you are under the age of 18 and you are not with a guardian who is 21 years of age, it will be illegal for you to have a gun on public property. So what would that mean is that the police could actually arrest that 14-year-old, you know, for doing a carjacking, but they can also take the gun away from the 14-year-old because it will no longer be legal for that 14-year-old to have that gun and use it on public property.
Well, Representative, thank you so much for your time this morning. Politically Speaking is a product of St. Louis Public Radio, which is a part of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. You can follow all of our coverage at stlpr.org. Representative, how can people get a hold of you on social media or anywhere on the internet where you want to be found?
I like my Facebook page right now, and it's State Representative Donna Behringer. Anybody could read it. When I do my electronic newsletter every week and I write about every subject we're talking about, I post it on my Facebook page so you can get to it. But if, you know, and if you want to be on my list, hey, just tell me on my Facebook page. I will let you hear what I have to say every week.
I am still on that list, Representative, and I enjoy reading your correspondence. Until next time, so long.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.